Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better. And everybody, do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your plans behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no plans of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. And we can dance.
Welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. It's a Friday edition of 3 and Out, brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union as we get you set for a basketball weekend for Tennessee. And really, most people, I mean, it's late January, typically when teams play their basketball games on the weekend. It's Friday. We made it.
We did it. Feels good.
That's Houston Kress. We got Davey Hudson. We got Billy Williford. The gang is all here. We got to get you set for Kansas. Fog Allen Fieldhouse. Rock, Chalk, Jayhawk. I mean, not all the Jayhawks.
Just most of them.
Most of the Jayhawks. I didn't get a chance to voice my displeasure with the ridiculousness of the suspensions.
Yeah, there was some ridiculousness.
Like, what the hell, man? It's almost like, as long as you do something really bad, I can get away with not so bad stuff. I mean, you know, stuff that normally would get punished. I mean, as long as you're over there stabbing somebody, I mean, I can
kick them in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, commit wire fraud, but whatever, you know.
Well, you are a deep criminal, huh?
But that's right, isn't it?
D'Souza and McCormick.
They just judged it on a curve. Like, ah, this guy really bad. This guy a little bad. These guys broke the rules, but nah, screw it. We're done here. It's Bill Self anyway. Like, all that debate. They're going to make a statement. They're going to, Kansas going to lay down the law. Big 12. Nope.
No.
All the media members saying, oh, you should never play basketball at Kansas again. Nope.
I got 12 games. Back in time for the tournament.
Yeah, we got an NCAA tournament to make money.
And they did it with the help of the Big 12.
Right. Well, the Big 12 wants, you know, to look good. So it's they tried to ride the line. How much can we suspend them for and still make sure that Kansas goes as deep as possible in the tournament? I mean, really, these guys will just be kind of rested.
McCormick was getting 8 minutes. Is that right? 8 minutes a game. And then D'Souza was 6. Maybe it's just a really smart move by Kansas to have those two guys be the ones who start swinging.
Well, we said Dotson and Azubuike would probably be fine. They're two best players, and then
yeah, Dotson's name was thrown around. I didn't see exactly what he did, but there were a lot of people saying that he could probably get a couple games based on his participation. No.
Then somebody tweeted me, how did Agbaji and Garrett get nothing? Those were the other two that we thought for sure were going to be.
Yeah, the four were McCormick, D'Souza, Agbaji, and Garrett. And then
yeah.
Dotson was the one maybe on the fence, but probably should have got something. And I guess, like, I'm wondering if they're using the refs not as, you know, assessing the technicals in the game.
Right, that's what.
Like, oh no, the game was over. So really, it's not an issue. They only gave this guy a technical, and we think this guy probably deserves a little punishment too. As well as, I mean, the one guy who got suspended for Kansas State's the guy who's not playing.
Was that the guy?
Yeah, the guy who came out in street clothes.
Yeah,
got knocked out of his shoe. So, thanks. He suspended a guy who's not playing.
Now, will that be when he starts playing, or just?
I have no idea.
You can't play these games. You weren't going to play anyway.
I mean, he's back, baby.
That's what they do with bowl bans. Like, you always take the bowl ban on the year you're not going to make the bowl or you're barely going to make a bowl, so it'd be a crappy one anyway. You're just like, well, we do lose the practices, but at least it would only be the Birmingham Bowl. Let's go ahead and take it this year.
Missouri.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about this game yesterday. I mean, it feels like you got a lot to gain, nothing really to lose. Play loose. Not to loose.
Maybe get
the looses out of the way
because the suspensions weren't that bad. It's a blessing if you win. It's obviously not as good as if it's a close loss and you feel like if they'd missed one or two more guys,
might
have won it. There's no way to know that before the game. Tennessee can't control it. Not their fault.
Kansas now a 90.6% favorite in the matchup predictor BPI. I think that's down from like 92.7 or something, 91.7. So things are moving Tennessee's way. Basically got a 1 out of 10 shot. It only takes one time.
How many minutes did you say McCormick was playing?
I thought it was 8. Is it more?
No, that's probably right.
We tried.
Yeah.
We went for it. And we kind of figured, you know, Kansas in the Big 12, they're going to protect their own. Makes sense.
Well, it kind of goes along with this, the NCAA, they're having all these meetings about how to handle the whole, like, fact that everybody realizes they make so much money but don't pay the players at all.
Well, they're a nonprofit, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it kind of goes along with that whole line. Like, Mark Emmert had another just quote that everybody was making fun of yesterday. College sports are about students playing other students.
Huh. I mean, right. And the money that they make from said competitions.
Yeah. Like, I thought David Ubbin had a nice retort. Students playing students. Brought to you by Allstate.
Right.
Or presented by Allstate. Like,
we just show you the game and make all the money off of it.
Yeah.
But it's really just about the kids.
I finally was able to read the LA Times article where they were able to get the report that they got from a bunch of college people about all their concerns, questions. Like, just, it was just thoughts on a page by, like, tons of, you know, leaders in college and colleges and college athletics. And the amount of, like, just laughable stuff that was in it. I mean, it was just like, these people really think this way, don't they? The main takeaway.
They just live in a bubble?
Yeah. Mm. The main takeaway was they believe the NCAA doesn't have an actual problem, just has a perception problem.
Interesting.
And that really, and a lot of the quotes had to do more with, if we can just figure out the way to make sure that the legal stuff doesn't go against us, like, we'll be fine. It's like, you guys don't even see it, right? Like, you don't even, it's like they just see the symptoms. They don't see the actual, you know, problem, the disease. It was a 44-page report that each attendee at the last spring's NCAA working group received, and it had all the it had unfiltered thoughts of 52 university presidents and chancellors, athletic directors, conference commissioners, NCAA staffers, and others.
I mean, are we surprised, though? Like, did we not expect them to fight this tooth and nail to the absolute bitter end? Well, we expect them to just all of a sudden be like, you know what? Yeah, we're going to give the kids the money now.
It was just the amount of tone deaf quotes. You know, let me just.
But I'm saying, like, of course, that's what they're going to say. Because if they admit even to themselves.
Okay, yeah.
You know, then they can't, you know, it's like, you know, super corrupt people. They lie to themselves, like, no, this is not, it's not right. As bad as you think it is. I'm doing this for a very worthy reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, if you say it out loud, you might not believe it as much.
The general public does not view the NCAA in a positive light. There was a huge communication plan to fix this, but then the scandals ruined that, one person said in response to a question the opportunity the organization should leverage.
Was it more of those commercials where it's like shows the kid going through his day on campus?
Yeah, those
like,
were going great.
Like, yeah, people really ate those up, didn't they? Like, oh, here's what I do. I wake up and I go to class and I eat and then I go to practice. And it's a great day for me. I love being a student athlete.
You mean Will Wade? Strong ass offer. The scandals ruined it.
Who is it? Is it Ayton? Is that the guy's name at Arizona?
DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah. Like, you're suspended for a game.
Kansas, Arizona.
Can't prove it. All right, you're back. You're reinstated.
Memphis this year. It is a hard environment with these sports writers who think amateurism is ludicrous. I think there is room.
It's these damn sports writers and radio hosts. No,
they blame the media in here. I think there is room for the definition of amateurism to evolve. In some sports, it's okay for students to compete in a non-collegiate competition like the Olympics, where there is an opportunity to make money through endorsements. And this inconsistency is ridiculous to me. Treat student athletes like other students. If a pianist got an endorsement from Steinway, we go, yay! If it's an athlete, totally different story.
Does Steinway make pianos?
I think so.
Okay. Who the hell knows that?
Another respondent. yeah, exactly.
Well, I enjoy eating wine and cheese off the top of my Steinway baby grand.
Another respondent said a different position.
I have several in a locked facility. I keep two in my cellar, where I also keep all of my wine from the money we make that we don't pay the kids because they're amateurs, but we're professionals.
Using the word amateurism is a losing term, one respondent said.
We have to change the word.
We're the only ones left who use it. It's a lack of credibility issue.
Change the word to something else, but don't change what it means.
We are using the word because we have to with these lawsuits.
That seems like someone who's recognizing at least part of the problem. But it does feel like let's not fix what amateurism is, let's just call it something else. Like, this word has soured in the minds of the viewing public, so let's just change the word. It's like Butch Jones, like, oh yeah, can't win a real championship. How do I? Champions of life. We are in a 4-game playoff. I mean, this is amazing. I know who should hire him. He'd be great there. We found Butch Jones's job. Just go be like PR nightmare city for the NCAA, because clearly they would eat all of your stupid ideas right up.
The end of this paragraph is what caught the headlines. The biggest threat is that the court system will force us to start paying athletes, and that will be the end of amateur sports as we know it. I think if we did a better job to show the academic benefits of playing college sports, it would take a lot of wind out of the balloon. All of the perks, like letter jackets, cost of attendance, ring, etc.
We give them a ring. Gah.
The letter jackets became the Twitter joke, the go-to for this whole
thing. I saw people tweet about the letter jackets. We give them those out of the kindness of our heart.
We just need to do a better job at predicting the legal and congressional likelihoods. I really believe so many of our ills would be cured if there were legitimate minor league basketball and football teams. That's maybe not a horrible take. If the kids could pick to go to go play minor league football, but they're like, no, I want to get my education.
Right, but
then
that,
you could be saying, well,
yeah, but that's the thing. Like the NCAA has the infrastructure. Like no one else has the infrastructure to all of a sudden say, we're starting minor league football at all the places where good college football exists. Like that just wouldn't work. And people would still pick college sports because a lot of the athletes would probably make more money playing for Alabama or Clemson or Georgia
secret,
than they would playing for some minor league football team.
Our future is being determined outside of our intentions. We are going to face a future that we are not creating. It will be created for us by those in courts and outside of our boardrooms.
Yeah, it's called the law. Like, what? Yeah, man. Like, that's we all live in that. We live in a society of rules set by minds that work together to hopefully come up with good ideas for the greater good, which is opposite of your entire boardroom every time they meet.
The excessive negative publicity the NCAA gets from sports writers who have agendas.
Those damn sports writers.
And different values. They don't buy into the whole success vision of the student athlete. This has hurt the NCAA in the past number of years. We have to be the ones creating the story, because in today's day and age of everyone wanting to get clicks,
today's day and age,
we will have a lot of people out there who will take shots and say things that aren't accurate and or factual. A lot of media members got a kick out of that one.
They're the mafia. Like this is the Joker calling the meeting together about like the Batman. Like that's the sports writer, right? Mm-hmm. Like you've got a problem. Man. I can take care of it for you, but I'll need half. Like, that's the NCAA. They're like, oh, we'll fix this. We just need to allocate more money to our – they're going to – you watch. They're going to start up, like, four different committees, mm-hmm. pay them all ludicrous amounts of money to, quote-unquote, fix the image.
Yep. Our main weakness is that we still do not do an adequate job of informing the public about the good work we do.
I mean, this is incredible. This is, like, the biggest deflect – and we're the best people ever, and you just don't know it because we don't brag on ours. Like, this is, like, the cringiest person you went to high school with. Mm.
They think everybody likes them, and like, they're doing good things, and it's like, what?
It's just like, well, you don't know all of my accomplishments or how awesome I am because you never hang out with me because I don't brag on myself and, like, put myself out there. If I would put myself out there more, you guys would like me. And the reality is you're just kind of a crap person. Good for the NCAA. This is definitely going to get better before it gets worse.
And then finally, this is kind of like sad but accurate. Legislation adverse to our values is by far our greatest threat.
When the law thinks we are wrong,
we're screwed.
When courts of fairness say we are being unfair, this is our big
in today's edition of Sad But True on 3 and Out.
Good gosh. It's amazing, really. Our biggest problem is not that we're stealing money. It's that people know about it and don't like it. This is the NCAA 2020. Welcome. I mean, it's really amazing.
I mean, I guess for...
Were there any of them that were like, we are a sham?
I read almost all of them.
I love the paycheck, but come on, guys. Like, we really got to start thinking about our athletes and the future. Like, the guy's saying, I want minor league, you know, football and basketball. It's like, okay, no, you don't. Like, you should just become that and have a smarter way to compensate athletes.
Yeah, they could just be that. Like, you could kind of separate the sports from the universities. I mean, you know, on paper, I mean, not for real.
I mean, we've talked about that before.
Like, the
Power Five just saying, like, hey, we're not with the NCAA anymore. We're doing our own thing. We're going to pay our student athletes. You know, we're going to work together and come up with some type of salary structure or payment structure.
I mean, I believe you could even separate revenue and non-revenue sports if you really – I mean, you might have to fight that somehow. But if you basically said, yeah, when you set foot in the Anderson training – facility. You're no longer going to school for the University of Tennessee. You're now on the clock for this new entity we started called Power Five Athletics, and you get paid this to do this job. And yeah, you play your games on campus. We lease the stadium from the university.
I mean, that's
you
know, what they do with the parking lot.
Exactly.
They lease the parking lot from the city, I think. I feel like it wouldn't really be that hard. They just realize how much money they would probably lose, and it's a bottom line thing. So, but, I mean, I see what he's saying. Like, if there were other options and people were choosing to go to Tennessee, Georgia, Clemson, Florida, Alabama, it's like, oh, they chose to be here. They could have gone and gotten paid. See, if they were smart, they'd start up minor leagues and they would just be junk. Awful, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be like
corruption.
It'd be the Cleveland Indians in Major League. Like, here's your plane. It's like, oh, God, this thing is falling apart. Or no, it's like, oh, we bus everywhere. Oh, you got a game against UCLA Saturday? Yeah, you're leaving Thursday morning for 29 hours in a bus. Enjoy. You sure you don't want to go to college where you can fly a commercial flight, a chartered plane?
We have all this money because we don't pay you.
I mean, when you say it that way, like they do have kind of a point. Like, planes aren't cheap, hotels aren't cheap. Eating the good food that they eat, you know, on campus in a way, like, it's not cheap, but it's way cheaper than if you had to pay them anything resembling a fair wage. Like, how does the NCAA want to do that then? Like, oh yeah, we'll pay you, but now you're buying plane tickets when we travel.
Yeah,
you're paying for all your meals.
I mean, the buildings wouldn't be as nice over there if they were paying
like
the players.
They would look
and the
like,
travel wouldn't be as good.
It looked like Jacksonville.
Yeah, you might have to, you know, you might still get to fly to UCLA, but you might be bussing to some places you've been.
It's like, oh no,
to.
We have a weight room. It's junk.
Yeah,
but we have a weight room. Like, I hate the NCAA, but there are a lot, and it's not like this at every school, but like a place like Tennessee, like athletes have a lot of advantages because of the extra money brought in and that's not then paid to the players. Well, so that's why everyone's like, oh, they're building another weight room instead of a library. It's like, well, yeah, but the team makes millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars so they can upgrade the weight room so that they have the best equipment and the locker room and the da-da-da-da. But
we do kind of always focus on the revenue sports too. Like, there's a lot of athletes over at UT who don't make money for UT who get to use very nice places to train because other athletes at UT in their sports bring in a ton of money.
That's like the athlete's argument. It's like, I'm on the team that's making all the money and it's all the same for all the athletes. Like, I mean, how does the stipend work? Because that's not for every athlete on campus, is it?
I don't know. It is
every athlete. If you're on scholarship, you also get the stipend.
Full scholarship. I don't know how it works with players who are on part-time scholarship for
some sports.
Tough.
So, like, if you're a baseball player and you're on a partial scholarship, which they all pretty much are, like,
I don't believe you get it, but I could be wrong.
Is it prorated? Like, I'm 50% scholarship, you get 50% stipend?
Could be. It would make sense that per scholarship there is a allocated stipend, so maybe you could do, like, a percentage split.
When the stipend first went into effect, Tennessee paid the largest stipend of any school in the country.
Had the highest. I think I haven't seen any report on that recently, but
I haven't seen that we're like the lowest now.
Okay, crazy. I know we got to hit a break, but I'm just trying to play this all the way out and trying to play kind of devil's advocate a little bit. If the NCAA wanted to keep the exact model they have right now, but didn't do the really dumb things where they, like, you know, build on these loops of hundreds of thousands of dollars going to different people for really no reason, like all the bowl stuff, corruption we talked about, like, If they really operate like a nonprofit and max the stipends out, let's say it wasn't like a wage. You mentioned the word wage. Let's say the stipends were a lot more for every athlete. And the football guys still kind of got screwed because they're still not making what they're worth, but they're making a good bit more. Mm. They're still not making, like, I don't know, maybe they're getting close to minimum wage for the hours they put in if you calculate all the stuff they do for football. But the NCAA doesn't have all this, like, hypocrisy rolling around. Like, they're actually just breaking even every year, and the players are getting a lot more of the money.
In all the
wouldn't it feel at least like they were trying?
Yeah,
wouldn't we at least want to sit down with them and say, okay, you guys have been trying. No one's getting rich off of this. But see, that's the problem. Right now, people are getting rich, and it ain't the players.
Right.
It's the coaches and the leadership. Admins.
Yeah. Yeah. And the NCAA, because they operate as a nonprofit, I don't believe they have to report their salary information, right? Like, I think I salaries with the NCAA are all private. Like, we can't see that. I think they might occasionally say, oh, yeah, Emmert made this much. But that's reported, right? Like, I don't think they have to report public. I mean, he could be making, you know, 10, 20 million a year if he wanted it.
Well, we know that they're not being paid by the NCAA. But, like, because the players don't get paid and there's so much money in college athletics and the licensing deals can be so much and all that stuff, we know that coaches, athletic directors, people through the schools, and the schools don't pay the same taxes as
that's
the business,
why just,
obviously.
Just do the likeness thing. Let kids make money off their likeness and endorsements, and at least start that to prove that you're not an idiot, and then
kinda
see.
Figure it out.
Yeah. Like, at least buy yourself some time. Like, that's what the stipend did. It bought time, and then now we're to the likeness thing, but that's been 5 or 6 years. Like, you've known this was coming. Just make a plan instead of complaining that people don't know me, so they don't like me.
It's a Friday edition of Three and Out. Lots to get to as we get you set for the weekend. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to Three and Out, Friday edition of the program. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, Billy Williford. We got Tennessee, Kansas tomorrow, college basketball. Last night, the Lady Vols took it on the chin.
It's a good first half.
That's what I heard. I didn't get to watch it.
They came out ready to go. In fact, athletically, I thought Tennessee was the better team. It was the holding on to the ball thing, the turnover thing that got them.
I had to listen to part of it on the radio, and poor Mickey Dearstone at one point called out one of the girls. I never thought I'd hear this man do this, and just said, I'm sorry, but she just should not be handling the ball. I mean, he was exasperated. I mean, just, he's like, and she just threw it into the third row with no one around her.
I know exactly.
We can't even make a pass to the
wing. I know exactly what play he was talking about.
Third quarter.
Yep. Just sailed it. She was trying to throw, I think, to Lou Brown. Not that Lou Brown. Don't ever do it again. And just, I mean, third row. It was something. What was the final tally? 26 turnovers?
At least.
27 turnovers?
I remember them saying 26 at some point late. I mean, how is that even possible? They weren't even pressing.
No, it was just really, 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 really bad passes all night. Or getting your pocket picked. It was
27 turnovers.
It was like watching five Vescovies out there.
I'm just Billy coming at you here in a minute.
No, we talked about it.
I think they had 20 turnovers against Alabama, so 47 in back-to-back games.
Tennessee actually shot the ball better than UConn and lost by 15.
Because you kept turning it over. That was the thing. We were actually shooting pretty well when we would get shots off. Then we stopped getting shots off.
You also couldn't get a defensive rebound. They had 17 offensive rebounds, did UConn. 17.
Feels like they always do that when they play Tennessee.
Tennessee was also 2 of 7 from the free throw line. Not great.
No.
You didn't get there, and you missed them when you did.
2 of 7, and you're the biggest team in college basketball.
That's
like,
sad.
You're not getting fouled when you go inside. And you're not really scoring inside that much either, but yeah, the turnovers really killed you in the second half. They had 7 points apiece in the third and fourth quarter.
Oh.
Connecticut had 21 in the third to pull ahead, and then the fourth quarter was really boring. It was, you know, 11-7 UConn. Very low scoring.
I do like the quarters. I think the men should go to quarters.
Oh, they will. This is, I mean, they're going to test it in the women's game for a couple years, and then I'd say the men will go to the
it
exact.
It helps with the bonus. I like
no
how
one
you can
predict the
whoa.
See the.
Whoa. Billy.
I like how
I
you
don't
can.
Billy, I don't need you talking Robin Porter State Farm during the middle of a segment. We'll get there.
It was pretty impressive that I put the music behind it.
Yeah,
too, right?
Well, you have a guitar that no one saw. Just bling, doodum, bling. No one can predict the future. Did you turn it over 27 times? Call Robin Porter State Farm. I would not have predicted 27 turnovers. That's for sure.
I had something to say, too.
What was it, a turnover Vescovi joke? Do you remember?
It wasn't a joke, yeah.
Well, maybe you should
bring a lot to the show.
Maybe you shouldn't have chimed in with your musical interlude there. Huh? Sheesh. It was a pretty good picking on the guitar. It sounded just like the ad. We're talking about quarters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. I was like, surely he'll remember. He won't remember, so I'm going to go ahead and remind him that we were talking about quarters. And
the men do it in the NIT.
Really?
In the NIT? Yeah. So it's the women's game, and then after a year, they seriously test some of that stuff in the NIT. They've done that with.
Sorry, I forgot to give the NIT bracketology update.
David,
we've been doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Happens. But yeah, they always
technical.
They use it to test
dealing with
test
here.
The market.
So really, everyone's playing quarters except for. Men's basketball right now in college.
Yeah.
The NBA does it. High school does it.
Yeah.
Rec leagues do it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I guess some still play halves. But
FIBA.
A lot of rec leagues do it.
I feel like FIBA. Most rec leagues go quarters.
Yeah. Huh. Women, NIT men. I mean, like, just one holdout.
It helps with the fouls, too.
It really helps with the bonus.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
What, you guys don't like seeing teams go to the bonus 5 minutes in and then –
then turns watch Teddy V
yeah,
call
turns
hand
a,
checks the whole
I don't half. Know, man. That was okay. the only that was the all only right. way I thought I'd get five in double figures is that early bonus against Ole Miss, and I was like, here we go.
This wasn't brought up, but you said Teddy V. He had another moment the other night where this was happening the same time Tennessee was playing Ole Miss, but he was reffing the Duke-Miami game, and Jim Larrañaga said something to him, and Teddy V basically put both fingers in his ears, turned his back to Jim Larrañaga and walks off.
He wasn't trying to hear it.
Just not having it. Not hearing it. And not having
it. And you can just kind of like see the expression on Larrañaga's face, and he's just like a mother bleeper. Like, he's something.
Somebody should just take the suspension. He should just walked out onto the court, grabbed his arms,
pulled him out of his ear.
And just yanked him out of his ear.
You will hear me.
And start yelling at him. And be like, I don't. You put your hands on official. I don't care. Someone's got to make a point with this guy. Yeah, rough night for the Lady Vols. Rekindling the series with UConn. They would have lost 60-45.
Is it scheduled again for next year? I thought they were doing a 2-year thing.
Well, I don't know when the future dates are, but surely it's not just one game and then we don't know, right? Like, I mean, they have to come back here.
I figured, yeah. Hey, we just got our loose out of the way.
I don't know.
They'll get them next time.
Houston, the question was asked, what do you think Pat would think about the rivalry starting back? The options that were thrown out was, she might think, well, there's been enough time. It's probably good for the game, you know, or would she disagree with it?
I think given the circumstance and what last night, because obviously they raised money. It was a We Back Pat game. Geno himself, and I allegedly he himself gave $10,000 to the Pat Summit Foundation. Mm-hmm. They had the, like, right as the first half ended, you know, both coaches came out, and he was, like, visibly crying, which, huh. I didn't expect that. He's never really seemed like that type of an emotional cry. Like, he's cried before when talking about other things, but I didn't see that one coming. I think given the circumstances and what the game raised awareness for, I think she'd probably be okay with it.
Yeah.
But if she was still coaching, probably not. Hmm. Like, if Alzheimer's had never happened with Pat Summitt, she probably would never have been like, yeah, let's just go ahead and fire it back up.
Right.
Just a guess.
Yeah. No, that I think that
without some type sense. Of like, you know,
reconciliation.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's Gino, so that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean he's handled the situation with class ever since the health of the two was not an even playing field. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like
regarding her specifically. Right, yes. Now he did take shots at Tennessee this year with the.
Who what was that about? The transfer.
The transfer
thing.
And
yeah,
the environment and blah, 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 yeah. blah.
Well, he was really mad at the NCAA.
Yeah. And he kind of shifted his focus during the middle of his rant, but a lot of that was kind of towards Tennessee. And then was it their athletic director? Their former athletic director said, actually, no, like Philip Fulmer and everyone at Tennessee, they released her immediately and wished her well. Like, I don't think this is them trying to.
Yeah.
So he kind of. He basically said there was a toxic situation at Tennessee, kind of blaming Tennessee, but really he was trying to say that the NCAA is not allowing this player to leave that situation and go play immediately. They're punishing her for leaving the situation. But by the end, yeah, he had kind of circled back to this is the NCAA's fault, not Tennessee's.
He was complimentary of Tennessee's team after the game. He was, I mean, obviously having to talk about his own team.
No, he was.
He said it was good for us to know that we can play sloppy and still be able to beat a really good team. Da, 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 you know,
yeah, and he didn't just leave it at that. He said, if that's the number 23 team in the country, he was very complimentary. One in stripes tweets in at one point in the fourth quarter, we had 11 second half points and 11 second half turnovers. Yikes, man.
Nah, just. I don't know how
I realize that this is like a, you know, younger team, new coach, new system. That's a big environment, although not nearly as big as it was in the past. Mm-hmm. You could see there's a lot of open seats up top. But yeah, I thought the team played really well in the first half, and then it looked like they just got really nervous. Like Connecticut made that little bit of a run late in the second quarter, and it felt like if the half hadn't happened right there, it wouldn't have mattered. Like it just felt like we got intimidated by UConn and the stigma and the tradition of that building and that coach and started just throwing it literally into the stands.
We'll come back. Final segment, hour number one, Friday edition of the program. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Final segment, hour one. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. They've been helping their members grow financially for 85 years right here in Knoxville, and they want to add you to the fold. We're members. You should be too. Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. They got over 30 branches conveniently located for you. Go to tvacreditunion.com for more information. Tell me you heard about them on 3 and Out and Fan Run Radio. Houston, do we need to do a virus update?
We might.
Like, not to the computers. Like give a news update about...
Bear calling in 3.
Breaking.
2, 1.
If you've been following the news, you've heard of the coronavirus. Apparently, there is a suspected potential case at Tennessee Tech. There's only one confirmed case in the United States. It was in Seattle. And now there is a person being tested for the virus at Tennessee Tech as of this morning.
There's one that says Texas A&M also.
Oh, God.
It's just suspected right now, though. It's not.
They say it's better with a lime.
It's going to be funny until we're all dead.
I feel like you kind of stole my joke from yesterday, but it's fine.
What did you say yesterday?
I said, it feels like this would be bad if you are in the beer business and they've named the virus after your beer. And I think you said, all publicity is good publicity.
I did say that.
Thanks for listening to the show. Yeah, it feels like, yeah, we can kind of joke about this now, but this, I don't know, man. It feels like it could be, kind of serious.
I'm sorry, I'm behind, but is it?
They've quarantined an entire city in China. 11 million people locked down.
This is a specific type, though, right? Like,
yeah, it came from bats and snakes.
Because there's apparently we get these types all the time.
Yeah, the coronavirus is the cold virus.
Yeah,
but the problem with them is they mutate all the time, and so
have a special number or something.
Not yet.
It does. It has a number.
It does.
I'll find it. Hold on.
It doesn't have like an official public name like Ebola or the flu.
I mean,
but
apparently the common ones are like 229E, NL63, yeah, OC48.
So this one
HKU1.
Went from bodily fluid transfer only to airborne. Seen the movie Outbreak?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that. It's the exact storyline, except instead of a monkey, it's apparently bats. And
it's,
snakes.
Well, it's 2019-NCOV.
NCOV. The new coronavirus, probably. Seriously, that's probably what that means. This is the new one. Here's the number. This is new.
Oh, wait. The N stands for novel.
Novel?
Or novel.
Is it an EL?
Yeah.
Novel. Okay. So, yeah. Just get your hazmat suits ready, I guess.
They quarantined a whole city, huh?
11 million people on lockdown.
That's not a village. Wuhan.
No, it's not a tiny little town like Cedar Creek in Outbreak. It's 11 million people.
Well, what they've done is they stopped all public transport from going in or out of the city. And if you have like your own vehicle, like they search you and they're making sure they think that it started at like a fish market, so they're making sure like people are not transporting any like
bats,
food
snakes,
items
fish.
Out of the area.
The new travel limit covers 35 million people from the New York Times 20 minutes ago.
Well, now, I mean, they had reported cases in like Beijing, Shanghai. So is it Shenzhen?
Shenzhen, yeah.
Another one. So
that's where I ordered my boat battery from. Uh-oh.
Well, it's still not here, so you'll be all right.
No, it is here.
Oh, you got it now?
Houston! Yeah.
Oh, God.
You're the problem!
I am not the problem.
I don't think I'm worried about a battery.
How long does it live on surfaces?
I don't know. That's what I was worried about. There's like some paste in there, too. Could have got in the paste.
Yeah.
It's like sealant.
Yeah, it says it can be transmitted by touching an object or surface with the virus on it.
I'm dead.
And then touching your mouth, nose, or eyes before washing your hands.
Isn't that like any cold?
I don't think they can live past 48 hours, right?
I don't know.
If it's not been
that's
through contact.
48 hours? I'm good then. I'm good. It took him like 3 weeks to ship it, so it died on the boat. Can't fly those things, so it had to be a long haul, so I think I'm probably good.
As I've said before, and I'll say again, never just take our full-on advice when it comes to medical information.
Right, right.
Well, take this advice. Wash your hands often. Soap and water for at least 20 seconds.
That's a myth.
Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and
warm
mouth.
Water, it gets a better sudsing action with the soap.
And avoid close contact with people who are sick.
Well, I thought if you don't ever wash your hands, your just immune system gets built up to be even stronger, you know?
There's something to that. Like if you use like Purell on your hands way too much, it'll actually weaken your immune system.
Sometimes it's good to eat food off the floor, they say.
5-second rule. So there's a tweet from January 22nd that Brian just sent us, and it said, this cuisine is called the Grant Bat Festival, and it is served in China as a token to prosperity and wealth. Bats are the host of many viruses, including the new coronavirus that has caused a massive outbreak in China this time, and it's literally a steamed bat in a bowl of broth.
Oh.
That's patient zero right here. This is where it started. It's like a little bat in a hot tub. You eat it. Look at that poor guy.
Oh, that's
that
nasty.
Is awful. That's a big bat. Looks like a tiny dog.
Chicken of the cave.
What's that from? Why do I remember that?
Anchorman 2.
Yeah. Chicken of the cave. Bats. Do you know that bats are foxes?
Oh,
there it is. That's her, patient zero, eating a bat, bat wing. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, Tennessee, coronavirus.
I'll go. Wee. Wonder if Mark Nagy has room in the bunker to make him an offer.
Everybody who laughed at all those preppers for all those years thinking it was going to be some war. Going to be nuclear. It's going to be this stupid virus that flies around unseen and undetected until you're like, I don't feel so good. Dang. Dang it.
I'm going to go buy a mask. Will that help?
Well, I always made fun of, they would show people in, China and Japan, they walk around with those masks on. I thought it was for pollution. No, they were just ahead of the curve on the coronavirus. We were talking about this. They don't share news with the world the same way that other countries do. They've probably known about this for years.
Mm. Fox Sports Knoxville medical expert weighs in. Hand sanitizer is awful, but do not tell people not to wash their hands in water, even without soap. Hand friction is good.
Yeah, Davey. You were the one who's like, washing your hands is bad.
I was joking.
Well, she's making sure that you do not tell people to do that.
Everyone should know washing your hands is important.
You just said it.
And to fade Davey.
Yeah, always fade Davey. Good point. I got to go. I'm going to wash my hands right now.
We got
to. I mean, I like to wash my hands of Davey, but I'll just stick to washing my hands.
Well, it's time for a break. Hour two next.
Wash your hands.